Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
So we'll start by reading the book of Isaiah, and I'll take Isaiah 41 from verse 10 to 13. Isaiah 41:10-13. So we'll read this before we take our seats. He said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Said, I will strengthen thee. And yes, I will help you. Said, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Say, behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, and they shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and not find them. Even them that contend with you. They that war against you shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, for I will help you." Glory to God. If you believe that prophetic word, shout hallelujah. Please take your seat. Many times when we really do not have so much at stake, we may not realize our need for God. You can be a sincere Christian, but you may be walking in pride because you think that it is your righteousness that has made your life easy. But there are times and seasons in your life when you will be confronted with the possibility of failure because you prayed and you fasted and you did everything that you knew to do, and yet it seemed as though that God is far away. One of the beautiful things about the Christian faith is that the Lord continues to give us assurances. You cannot walk with the Lord. You will not enjoy your relationship with God if he's not consistently giving you assurances through scripture. The Bible talks about comfort through scriptures. And when you read the scriptures, maybe in the daytime or at nighttime, one of the things you are looking for are the assurances the Lord is giving you. Because when you investigate those assurances, God is actually telling you something. That you are surrounded by battles. But they that be for you, hallelujah, they that be for you are always more. And just because you cannot see them does not take away the reality of divine help and assistance. However, in order to participate and fully appreciate what is given, you need revelation. Revelation is the food of children. Of God's children. You should not be happy or satisfied when you are walking or living your life without consistent interjections of revelation. God should be able to find you. You should know by now how God reaches out to you. These are things that you learn through observation. There are people that you talk to them, they will tell you, one or two people like that, they will tell you that they don't dream. They don't dream. They don't hear voices. They don't see visions. But they will tell you that anytime they are in the midst of believers and someone is speaking to them, they can discern the voice of God. Just a regular conversation. And God uses the lips of others. The conversation switches and their discernment becomes heightened. And they can tell that what Pastor Tokwe just said to them was the word of the Lord. And when they come to Busal, they will say, "Do you know God spoke to me yesterday?" They won't tell you how. That God said to me was a conversation he had with someone else but he was spiritually smart enough to discern. You're having a conversation with someone, and out of nowhere, the person quotes a scripture that may not even be in alignment with your conversation. So you must be spiritually trained to know that you need to go back and look at that scripture. And please, you may need to write it down somewhere on your notepad, or because you will forget. Why would God bring such a very profound prophetic word to Israel, saying, "Fear not, for I am with you"? Because one of the first assignments of fear is to disconnect you from the presence of God. The first assignment of fear is not even for you to be afraid. It is to take away your assurance of God's presence in your life. Let me tell you that the moment you became a Christian, God's presence became domiciled in your life. And you have to know this. You have to believe it. You have to know it. You have to be there. Those people you see around you that you admire have only found ways to leverage on that presence. It's not because they are better than you, including myself. It's not because I'm better than you. But if I give attention to the presence of God, I will be able to maximize it beyond a noisemaker. And in the spiritual realm, attention is currency. What did I say? Attention is currency, which means whatever I focus on will be magnified. Alright? So I've heard some people teach on the law of attraction. I'm sure some of us have heard it. You know, it's a popular new age. But that doesn't translate to the fact that it doesn't work. It works. It's just that you have to be sure where your source is. Whatever you focus on will be created around you. Whatever your mind meditates on will be created around you. If you wake up in a slum, if you wake up in Ajegunle, don't let your mind be there. Come on, are you here now? If you wake up with 2,553 naira 20 kobo, if that was what you woke up with this morning, don't let your mind be on that 2,553 naira 20 kobo. Let your mind be seeing $25,000 and $50,000, and because whatever your mind accepts and focuses on will be created in your life. Just a matter of time. I'm telling you how people get to the point that God has to tell them, "Fear not." Because the subject of fear not means that somebody has deviated in his meditation. Somebody has walked away from the Lord in his meditation, in his thinking. And the Spirit of God was teaching us. He said, because they did not retain God in their mind, so God also gave them up to a reprobate mind. They did not retain God in their mind. Whose job is it to retain God in the mind? It is my duty. God lives in your spirit, but God is also saying to us that if we do not take deliberate steps, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, to ensure that the mind of Christ is built into our mind, such that we do not think as the world, we do not run after things like the world, we do not pursue after vain things like the world. If we do not take that deliberate step, the eventual result will be a reprobate mind, a mind that has no regard for God. That's why people who thought they were Christians and then they moved to the US or to the UK and Canada suddenly wake up and say, "I don't need to pray again." What will make you pray has not come. It's not that you will not pray. You will pray. You see, but the devil will give you a long rope so that when he finally comes for you, you will be far from help. Your parents that are in Nigeria are in church now. You got to the US and said, "There is no God." The president of America says, "In God we trust." You said, "There is no God." No problem. You know, your life will either be a testimony or a warning to others. God has put so much of himself in creature and in his creation that for you to even rise and say there is nothing like God, then you must be a fool. That's why the scripture says that it is a fool that says in his heart. Usually they don't say it to their mouth, they say it in their heart, that there is no God. You look at someone as intelligent as you, with the kind of facial structure, height, it seems as though there was some level of deliberate intention in crafting something. Like you look at the skies and look at how organized it is. You look at the icy mountains and you look at the blue mountains and you look at the forest and you look at everything that God put in nature, how they have remained consistent and how that the only problems we have were because we tampered with nature. So when Satan really wants to deal with you, if he cannot fight your anointing, he will begin to cast aspersion in your mind. He will begin to remind you of all the times you prayed and it seemed that God did not respond to you. But you also have a responsibility to remember his testimonies. That's why the scripture says when we come before him, we come before him with thanksgiving. We come before him with thanksgiving. To come before the Lord in thanksgiving means that I am conscious. I have record. Don't just keep diary of people who hurt you. 9:28 a.m. 2nd of November 2025. Sandra said to me. Don't keep stupid diaries. Some don't even have a physical diary, but their minds are like computers. They never forget. And the devil is so smart, you will never remember the favor the person did to you before. But you see this other one. Oh my God. Oh my God. But you know, if you are seeking revenge, you must dig two graves. One for the person, the other for yourself. Because you can't seek revenge and go away. Just dig two graves. So when God says, I will be, he says, fear not, I'm with you. It's because you are already surrounded by battles that are strong enough to invoke fear. You are faced with the reality that I could be 33 and I really don't know when I will get married. That's something to be afraid of. And in case you think it's just about women, there are a lot of men who are worried too. You may think you are the next best thing after hamburger until the lady tells you that you are not my type. That I want to marry, but not like this. Then you are forced to look at yourself like, what's wrong with me? If someone chooses to marry you as a brother or a sister, be happy. Just be happy. At least for today, be happy. Because deciding to go with you is a destiny decision, whether I know it or not. Whether you'll be happy in the next 5 years or not depends on this decision. Because you may be happy in the Lord, but very sad in your home. When the Lord says, fear not, it is because there are things he has seen about your life, about your destiny, for which you might not even be aware. And he said, don't worry, fear not. And every time God gives you a word of assurance, it's because he's there with you. Amen. As believers, we must walk in that consciousness that when you step into the bus, you didn't go in alone. The host of heaven came in there with you. The Almighty God is there with you. Do you know that you are a living temple? Do you know that wherever you go, nobody should be asking where God is? Where is God? God, where is your face? You are a living temple. God no longer invests in block and cement. He invests in living temples. That wherever you walk into, people should be able to say, ah, finally. Thank God. But you see, if people place that premium on you and you do not carry the consciousness of the divine, what happens is that you will be weeping and crying like those who have no help. And meanwhile, the information for us this morning is that fear not. Fear has a very powerful way of disconnecting even the most anointed. The moment you become afraid, you can't touch your anointing again. You can't touch it. You feel wasted. While at the prophetic convocation, I made reference to this issue of fear. In 2 Timothy, where he said, God has not given us a spirit of fear. But is this 2 Timothy 1? 2 Timothy 1, 7, quickly. Say, for God. Because some people may find a religious way to justify your fear. And God says, I'm not the one. It's okay to be afraid. God says, I'm not the one. Such is life. He said, I'm not the one. You've left the WhatsApp group. If you belong to a WhatsApp group where the only things people talk about there is how to deal with their husbands, You know there are such WhatsApp groups. There are, Mama, there are groups. Some people didn't start fighting with their husbands until they joined some groups on Facebook, close group, where people talk about all kind of crazy things. You want to know his ATM pin? You want to know his phone password? You are, that thing you are looking for, you see it. Better give yourself peace of mind. The way you get him is the way you keep him. If you got him while waiting on the Lord, that is how you keep him. You want to be following him up and down. Follow now, maybe you don't have work. It seems that every time I make an advancement, there is a fear waiting for me. Will this testimony last? What if I come to this new position? What if they say there was a mistake tomorrow and that revert back to status quo? They gave you letter. People already congratulated you. Then I came, something happened. There's HR sent you. You cannot say, no. This is you that you went to order for a new suit because this tomorrow now. This is how you are going to work in. Then I call that there was a mix up. Please let that mix up remain the way it is. There's always one fear that people are confronted, and it's human. You want to get married, will I marry? What if he backs out last minute? What if something happens? So then you now get married, you're like, can I get pregnant? Then you now get pregnant, you start thinking, first pregnancy is usually difficult. You start going online. ChatGPT now becomes your mentor. You start always, ChatGPT doesn't know you. Will I have a CS? You are just first trimester. She said, will it be normal delivery? Will I throw up? Just come. It seems that every time that God is trying to move you forward, Satan will try to bring evil and something that really has no relevance. He will put it in your mind because he can't control you until you are afraid. Satan cannot control you until you become afraid. Satan cannot control you until you become afraid. So the subject of fear is a big deal. If I get married, will I marry last? What if he dies? You need to know what people are thinking. And I'm saying this because I've also thought about them. And in case you think it is only people that don't have faith that think about these things. Job said, the things that I feared have finally come upon me. Which means there's a level of progress you make. You now begin to, you used to believe that you are very anointed. But when God takes you to a level, you start asking for grace, start asking for mercy. Because you now realize that where you are, you can easily fall off. You are standing at the edge of a cliff. But God says, fear not. Hallelujah. We have one fear not for every day of the year. 365. He said, fear not. Say, fear not. Say, I'm with you. I'm with you. Now, when you hear I am with you, you may not even have a context to understand that. Let me give you an idea of I am with you. I'm with you was a clear case of I'm with you. A small case of I'm with you was when Elisha was attacked and surrounded by an entire army. And Elisha did not fret. He just went about, he brushed his teeth, put food on the fire, told his servant, "Say, cook, we're having visitors. Wore his best clothes." He could see them. You are not hearing me. You can see your enemies. You can see your fear. You can see what Satan is projecting at you, but you ignore it. Wake up, brush. Come on, are you with me? We are prophesying this morning. Because you see, whatever you focus on, if you focus on what you are surrounded with, that attack will leave the external environment and enter your mind. So Elisha, even though he was a prophet, woke up and ignored it, brushed his teeth, went to have his bath, combed his hair and his beard, and he wore something that was very nice, and behaved as if, come on, say behave as if. He behaved as though there was nothing outside, but he could see it. Huh? The scripture says to us that we must consider Jesus, who is the high priest of our profession. Come on, say consider. So it's not that we are saying the problem is not there, but we are not going to consider it. We are going to consider who? Jesus. He said we consider Jesus, who is the high priest. And that description is significant, because when he said the high priest, what he means is that he is the one who stands in the holiest of all, speaking mercy. Because the blood of Jesus speaketh what? Better things than the blood of Abel. So while you are on earth being faced with challenge, Jesus stands in his office as the high priest and is releasing mercy. He's releasing grace. So he said, don't consider your warfare. Consider Jesus. Consider the one who is speaking on your behalf. Consider the one who is fighting for you. Consider the one who says you will not, he does not sleep and he does not slumber. Consider the one who spoke to you and has been speaking to you for years, who says, I will bring my word to pass in your life. Consider him. Will you listen to matter? Will you listen to matters? If you get confused, get back in the word. If you are getting confused, listen to a message. That's why you need to protect your ears and choose who you listen to. Listen to who builds your spirit. Listen to who energizes your faith. Listen to who encourages you to go back to your spiritual routine. I mean, last week I just sat down and I stumbled on a very old message of Kenneth Hagin. It was just an audio message and I started listening to it. My God, when I was done, I felt like praying. You know, I felt like praying. Just the same old voice. Glory to God. Please tell your neighbor, consider Jesus. Consider the high priest of your profession. Consider the one who is speaking mercy on your behalf. The one who is speaking peace in your journey. Into your journey. He said, do not be afraid, for I'm with you. He said, do not be dismayed. What does the word dismay mean? Don't be discouraged. Don't be confused. Don't be discomfited. Because fear never works alone. It walks around with discouragement. And believe me, there is no level you get to in life. Sometimes you are confronted with the decision of, should we have done this thing? Should we have gone into it? Should we have started? You go through, some of you signed out of social media because everything you saw there puts a burden on your soul. I hope you know it's just content creation. And I hope you know God is also a content creator. The first content material God put out was his word. So stay in the word. Believe me, you have not read the Bible. Just agree with me. His report says I'm healed. His report said I'm delivered. His report says I am free. Whose report will you believe? Amen. God's report over my life. No man has the power to write the last chapter of your life. As long as you are in the word. There are many things that make us afraid. You just wake up and realize that your son is almost as tall as you. And you become afraid. Like, I've not fully trained him. You start asking yourself, have I fully trained him? You become concerned about helping him not make the same mistakes you made at his age. You just wake up one day and realize that this was the age. The uncles that abandoned you. This was the age they were in, though. Those uncles that refused to help you then, when your father died, they were this age. It's a very wicked. When I grow up, I will not have anything to. Now you can see that it was not that they were just wicked; they were also poor. They didn't have money to help you. When you are poor, it looks like wickedness. Because when you tell people I can't help you. The only thing they are hearing is wickedness, that you're a wicked uncle. So brace up. It's your turn now. You are also a wicked auntie and a wicked uncle. Amen. How many wicked uncles do we have this body? They are not here. But you know how painful it can be when you're niece or nephew calls you from somewhere and says, I want to do something. You just notice you are getting angry. Where has had that feeling before? Like that, it still happened to me last week. Like, they just call, I want to take a course. You start getting angry. Why are you telling me? If you want to go and register, why are you telling me? Why are you telling me? It's money, oh, it's money. It's not for your information, it's for your, It's for your action. Amen. Why are you telling me? Register for the course. Why are you telling me? I'm trying to say, okay. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, God, you need money. Amen. You need money. There's a level you get to. Oh, Simiria. You are in a river that never runs dry. You just stop getting angry. Get rich. Amen. Stop getting angry. Get rich. Amen. He says, be not dismayed, for I am your God. The reason, you see, why, and this is very foundational here. One of the reasons why we struggle with our fear beyond the very healthy levels or zones is because we forget who we have. And God says, do not be dismayed, because I am your God. I am your owner. I am your savior. A lot of Christians romanticize with scriptures, but they don't believe it. You need to understand that the same commitment that God had to his son Jesus is the same commitment he has to you. You have to know it. You have to believe it. You have to accept it. You have to see it as your reality. It's not positive confession. It is what it is. The scripture says that we are seated in heavenly places with him. It didn't say that he will give us a different, which means that God's throne is an extended seat. Come on, are you here now? So God is seated there, Jesus at his right hand, but there are seats across. Say you are seated with him. You are seated with him. You are seated with him. Not you will sit with him. Say you are seated with him, which means you are seated in a place of authority. You are seated in a place of dominion. You are not as weak as the devil is trying to make you feel. He said, I am your God. I want you to declare, he's my God. He's my God. You have to remember it. And the moment he brought us into the place of introduction, the next thing he said is, I will strengthen you. I know you are weak. I will infuse you with divine strength. You see, one of the things, you see, fear has torment. Fear will always take away your energy. The fear of what has not happened, your mind will go over it 100 times. You wake up tired. You have nightmares. Have you slept and you just, like, you ask yourself, why didn't I just stay awake? Because that sleep was very nightmarish. You just go to bed, you find yourself in your village, you come back to Lagos, the bus stops it stops at Jebode in one bush, and you are just there, and you wake up in 6 a.m., and you're like, oh my God, I still have to go to the island today. Low strength. Low strength. But today we are not without help. Hallelujah. We are not without help. The word of God says, if you shall ask anything, he said, and you believe, he said, it will be done to you as you have declared. Say, you shall have what you say. Mark chapter 11 verse 23, he said, you shall have what you say. You shall have what you say. You shall have what you say. If you don't say, it is not yours. You shall have what you say. You shall have what you continue to say. You shall have what you continue to say. You shall have what you say. Don't say once and be quiet. You shall have what you say. You can talk your way out of this problem. Amen. You can talk your way out of this situation. You are not as weak. Follow the word. Say, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, come on, say whosoever. My son fits into this whosoever. Your daughter fits into this whosoever. You say whosoever. Whosoever. We commonize a lot of things. You don't know how much power you have. Jesus said whosoever. Which means even if you're a bishop and you do not say, you will suffer. If you are a president and you think that your position is strong enough to bail you out, if you do not say, you will suffer. Jesus says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, which means to deal with this problem, there must be identification. What are we dealing with? What are we? Are we dealing with a principality? Are we dealing with a bloodline defect? Are we dealing with a spirit? Are we dealing with a standalone challenge? What exactly are we doing? But the moment you are able to identify, he says, whosoever shall say. So there must first of all be an identification of what you are dealing with. You must know. When you get married, or if you're already married, you must know the battles in that bloodline. You don't need to put it in his face, in your husband's face or your wife's face. Just observe and look for patterns in the family. patterns are clear indicators of bloodline warfare. You want to get married to someone? Ask him about his brother. Ask him about his siblings. Where are they? Okay, your sister, where is she? She's in the US. Where is this one? Canada. Where is this one? Ijebuode. Where is this one? Okay, what does this one do? What does this one do? Then go back, step back, and look at that. You will see a pattern. That pattern is what you will deal with when you marry. So when you know that type of pattern and you've seen it, tell him, say, let us pray tomorrow. I want us to pray for our new family. We are not married though, but I want us to pray. Let him know that you are not even, because some guys, when you talk to them, they become defensive and angry. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. You are a fool because you don't even know what is going on in your own bloodline. And it took a lady to come into your life to identify those things. And I hope you know that you can be blind to your warfare. You can be blind to your warfare because you have lived in it, you've grown in it, and you may not realize that you need help. Open your eyes. Start praying. If you don't know where you need help, how do you pray? Say, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed. Ah, come on, prophesy. Say, be removed. The problem is we are praying against mountains. Jesus says, speak to them. This is a prophetic declaration. Hey, you mountain. Hey, you mountain. Hey, you mountain. You are weak. Jesus said, once you identify, if you know you don't have the authority, leave the mountain. Identify, then leave it. Then go and scabash. Take yourself on a journey. Build up yourself your most holy faith. Then when you come back, you what? You speak. The moment you start saying, the spirit knows you are not sure yet. You are not confident. Some of you are going to leave here today, but you will take your destiny back. Yeah. I say you are going to take your destiny back. Yeah. Listen, you need to understand the nature of mountains. When you are dealing with a mountain is telling you, is trying to tell you a message. I have been here for a long time. Every mountain has outlived you. As I've lived your fathers, that mountain didn't just, any mountain you have seen didn't grow. It has been there. It has been there. It has been there for many, many years, hundreds and thousands of years. So Jesus said, once you identify it, speak to it and say, be removed. And cast. When you deal with those type of problems, give them a direction. Go to the dry lands. Far away from your family. Come and say, far away. He said, give it a direction. Say, be thou removed. Then you can pray like Zerubbabel. Who is this mountain? Huh? Against what? Zerubbabel. He said, you give it a specific command. This is what will happen to you. This is what will happen. You are not asking God to come. You are using your authority. Come on, are you here? If you are there, we shouldn't be asking for God again. You are not as weak as you look. If only you can start speaking. Say, be thou removed. And what? Be cast into the sea. He said, if you do not doubt in your heart. Do you see this matter of doubt? That doubt is rooted in fear. It's rooted in fear. Will it happen? Will it not happen? Will it happen? What if it doesn't happen? Madam, that's not your business. Your business is to do what the word of God says. So God has established here that the reason why a lot of people will not receive their breakthrough is that they are not consistent in their faith. They believe truly, but they do not remain consistent. They don't stay consistent. At some point, doubt will set in. At some point, doubt will set in. And Jesus said, if you do not doubt in your heart, a lot of people are saying something in their mouth, but they are believing something else in their heart. He said, if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that the things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what? Please give me New King James. Now, the word whatsoever suggests to us that everything is covered. Come on, are you with me? If you have a son that is misbehaving, he's covered here. If you have a sister that is wayward, she's covered here. If you have a parent that is sick, they are covered here. If you have something wrong with your job or your business, this is covered here. Are you with me? Say whatsoever. Please let me preach to your neighbor and say whatsoever. The scripture says, but if he believes that the things he says will be done, he will have what? Whatever. Come on, say whatever. He said he will have whatever he declares. Give me amplified. The problem is we spend our time talking to the wrong people and talking about the wrong things. Jesus says, pay attention to your heart and what you say. That's what Jesus is saying here. Pay attention to your heart and what you say. If that conversation is happening in your heart, you have to be careful and protect yourself. If you are unable to stop the flow of negative thoughts, tell another believer quickly, let them lay hands on you and cast out that devil. Amplified. Truly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all. Come on, say at all. It does not. So your faith must be consistent. Your faith must be. Do you know? Look, let me tell you. No matter how much blessing you have now, I want you to know that was not all. That was not all. It was the one you were able to appropriate. But that's not all. God never gave birth to a child that is small. Jesus never gave birth to any child that is small. You are not small in destiny. You are not small in prophecy. You are not small in size. You are not small in authority. You are not small in influence. You are not small in wealth. You are not small in glory. Jesus never gave birth to anything that does not look like him. But whether you are able to appropriate those things now depends on the state of your heart and what you say. Look at what the scripture says. He says, if he does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done. Hello, look at that. Pay attention. King James says, if we have whatsoever is yet. This one said, it will be done. Is he the one doing it? Which means that the moment I keep speaking, then laws will be set in motion. Angelic motion will be triggered. Then God will also raise men and women who will carry out that activity. Are you with me? Because much of what you are praying for are things that are beyond you. You cannot control them. You cannot fix them. You cannot solve them. But you begin to apply spiritual laws and principles. And when you speak and you hit a particular point, the scripture said that laws will be triggered. People will suddenly rise up. In the day of his power, the people shall be willing. People will suddenly rise up and they want to help you. People want to be like, so what's happening in your life? What do you want? What do you want to do? You know, people ask you this. Okay, okay. How much is it? Okay, see me tomorrow. No, give me account number. Okay, pam. People suddenly just feel inclined. But you see, it's not an accident. It's not an accident. You have been speaking it. You have been saying it. You have been prophesying. Every time you see contravening situations and you see winds that are blowing around you, contrary winds, you only go back to the word. And you keep speaking. And you keep speaking. And you keep speaking. And you keep speaking. 5 years later, you look back. You've gone far. Far away from what you've always... People now see you. They no longer remember your past. They see you in your current glory. They see your current glory. Say, shall have whatsoever he said. Say, shall have whatsoever he says. He says, he shall have whatsoever. I will have whatsoever he says. I will have whatsoever I declare. I will have whatsoever I believe. I trust God for. I will have whatsoever I am praying for. I will have whatsoever I say into the hearts and into the mind of Jesus. I will, whatever I speak into the atmosphere, I will have it. 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 I am not weak. I am not tired. I will have whatsoever I say. I will have whatsoever I say. I am not without help. I am not without support. I will have whatsoever I say, and it shall be done for me. It shall be done for me. Laws are being set in motion. Angelic forces are being set in motion for my help. It shall be done for me. 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 God knows that you can't help yourself, but he says it shall be done for you. It shall be done for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you believe it shall be done for you? We are in a season of great help. We are in a season of great assistance. It shall be done for you. It shall be done for you. The Lord is going to move you forward with a mighty hand. He's going to push you forward with a mighty hand. I want you to declare it shall be done for me. I am in a season of great help. It shall be done for me. It shall be done for me. Open your mouth and begin to declare. Open your mouth and begin to prophesy. Lift up your voice and begin to declare. Everything that is before you, whatever you are trusting the Lord for, it shall be done for you. It shall be done for you. You shall have what you say. Likaparando suteya na likabaya. Robo suteli makande rika disibia sale nakata. Robo letande kete rebo shuta yikazila bala. We shall have what we say. It shall be done for us. Alemarate sebadali saina kataya. Robale kende reboko sutaya. It shall be done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 26. The one you helped has come to worship you. The one you helped has come to worship you. The one you help, oh.
The one you help has come to worship you.
The one you help, oh.
The one you help has come to worship you.
There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rise the heavens to help me, and in his excellency on the clouds. Give me amplified. There is none like God, O Jeshurun, who rise through the heavens. Come on, you say he comes through the heavens. For my help. He rise through the heavens to your help. And in his majestic glory, through the skies. I want you to cry to God this morning. And say, Lord, send help quickly from heaven. Right through the heavens. Come to my rescue. Come to my rescue. Right, are you praying? I don't know if you are in need like me, but if you have nowhere to go, can you call upon God this morning? Can you pray fervently this morning? There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rides to our rescue through the sky. His dignity hallowed by the clouds. Lord, over this house this morning, we ask that you will come quickly to our rescue. Over our children, you will come to us. You will come to our rescue. Over every male, over every female, over everyone in this service, you will come to our rescue. In the name of Jesus, come to our rescue. We are not alone. Come to our rescue. Oh, le kaparata kasita lene melokosuta. Oh, shabala da gadabasa gadabala kada. You are not praying, no. Kala baraka de sekede. Oh, rabale keteke seketeli kanamasata. This is your season of great help. I want you to receive great help. The embargo is lifted. Receive great help. 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 You can have a double barrel breakthrough before the end of this year. You can still have a double barrel breakthrough before the end of this year. Rabele keno kuto sukata ya katala. Robale katasi kata lima kata yikadaze. Robele kete kete liya kasala na barasita. Turn my life around, oh God, I pray. Turn my life around, oh Lord. I pray today. Turn my life around. Oh Lord, I pray. Turn my life around. Oh Lord, I pray today. Turn my